I once visited Santarém in the central Amazon during the river's annual flood, when it wells over its banks and creeps inland for miles. Forest paths become canals, and people boat through the trees. Farmers in the floodplain build houses and barns on stilts. Stir-crazy cattle in the barns stick their heads out the windows and watch pink dolphins sporting on their doorsteps. Acre-sized patches of bobbing vegetation, the famous floating islands of the Amazon, drift by. Ecotourists are taken in motorboats through the drowned forest. Guys in dories chase after them, trying to sell sacks of incredibly good fruit. Between communities, water traffic continually darts, hopscotching back and forth with the speed of gossip, even though many boats are still powered by pushing a long pole against the bottom. At the river's edge during flood season are small trees inundated to the tips of their branches. 30 feet above them dangles the red fruit of tall kapok trees, each scarlet bulb reflected perfectly in the still water. People make shortcuts through narrow tunnels in the vegetation called furos. When I visited an old plantation called Taparinha, the man at the tiller abruptly turned the boat straight into the forest. We shot through a furo 2,000 feet long and 6 feet wide. Some furos have existed for centuries, I was told. There have been water highways in the forest since before Columbus. All of this is described as wilderness in the tourist brochures. It's not, if the new generation of researchers is correct. Indeed, some believe that fewer people may be living there now than in 1491. Yet when my boat glided into the furo, the forest shut out the sky like the closing of an umbrella. Within a few hundred yards, the human presence seemed to vanish. I felt alone and small, but in a way that was curiously like feeling exalted. If what was around me was not wilderness, how should one think of it? Since the fate of the forest is in our hands, what should be our goal for its future? European and U.S. environmentalists insist that the forest should never be cut down or used. It should remain, as far as possible, a land without people. In an ecological version of therapeutic nihilism, they want to leave the river basin to its own devices. Brazilians I have encountered are usually less than enthusiastic about this proposal. Yes, yes, we are in favor of the environment, they say. But we also have many millions of desperately poor people here. To develop your economy, you leveled your forests and carpeted the land with strip malls. Why can't we do the same? If you now want more forest, why don't you tear down some of your strip malls and plant trees? Yes, yes, we are in favor of helping the poor, environmentalists respond. But if you cut down the tropical forest, you won't be creating wealth. Instead, you will only destroy the soil. Turning Amazonia into a wasteland will help nobody. These dialogues of the deaf have occurred so often that the participants can almost recite their lines by rote. In a way, the words are curiously weightless, for the environmentalists tend to live in, or at least reflect views from, places like London, Berlin, or San Francisco. And the advocates of development are often from São Paulo, Rio de Janeiro, or Brasilia, cities that are thousands of miles away from the Amazon and culturally almost as remote. You should see people's faces here in Amazonia when we tell them we're from São Paulo, Eduardo Neves told me. It's like New Yorkers coming to southern Illinois, only worse. My God, aliens have invaded. Kill them before they infect us all. At the same time, the clash between environmentalist and developer cannot be dismissed. At stake, after all, is the world's greatest forest. And similar arguments play out in 100 or 1,000 other places that need protection. Beneath the entangling personal motives, the debate is one of the oldest in the Western philosophical tradition between nomos and physis. The ancient Greeks saw existence as a contest between nomos, rationality, order, artifice, and physis, irrationality, chaos, nature. In environmental terms, Thoreau, who saw the landscape as imbued with an essential wildness that could be heedlessly destroyed, embodies physis. Physis says, "Let nature be our guide. Step out of the way of the environment and it will know how to keep itself healthy